So I'm going to bring up Jennifer Wines this morning to you. And we're just laughing because I said, where's my bio to introduce you? And she said, okay.
Change and aging process. Sometimes things happen that just so strong in your face, just smacks you dead in your face that you just have.
Do you want it started? I was just going to say, so I didn't receive anything. She says, but that's okay. I'm going to tell them all about me. And I said, I just know that I knew Jennifer years ago when she was here at our church. And what a wonderful, warm, outgoing person she is, and just enjoyed her so much when she was here. So I'm always excited when we get her back to speak to us. So we're excited to hear what she has to say about maintaining friendships.
Thank you. We're going to start with this disclaimer. Go ahead now, Quinn. Thank you so much.
You know, sometimes, you know, as much as you try to fight the whole change and aging process, sometimes things happen that just so strong in your face, just smacks you dead in your face, that you just have to go, okay, it is what it is. It's a true story. I'm coming out of the mall, right, walking out of the mall, and I'm just digging through my purse, just rifling through my bag, and you know, I'm talking to my friend, and she could tell that I was distracted. She's like, Wanda, are you listening to me? I was like, girl, I'm sorry, but I think I left my cell phone in the store. And she goes, okay, well, call me back when you find it.
Good morning, ladies. That's my disclaimer. That started happening about, I want to say 12 years ago to me. And still to this day, I've got a lineup right here of all my little sticky notes to remind me of what I'm hoping I remember to say. And hopefully I'll remember that they're here and won't be rifling through my pockets to find them. I'm Jennifer, and it's really so good to see faces that I have seen over the years. I'm trying to get this microphone out of here. I want to be able to walk around. But I'd love to start with prayer, because I missed the little prayer huddle this morning because I was back with Quinn, who I really appreciate. Thank you, Quinn, for helping me out with the slides. So I'd love to open in prayer. Good morning, gracious Heavenly Father. Thank you so much for this vision of loveliness called women that you created in your image. Lord, thank you for each one here. Thank you for their story. Thank you for the friendships that they've made. Thank you that they're here at Moms Connect to learn to grow healthy habits, and that today we're going to be talking about maintaining friendship, God, and what that looks like. And I pray that right now you become my editor. You use the words that put the words that you want me to use into my heart and my head, and remove anything that you don't want me to say. I've got a lot more than 20 minutes worth of stuff in 62 years, so be my editor and just let your love flow like a mountain stream through me to this sea of lovely women. Thank you again for this time. In your precious name, amen. So one of my first memories of friendship, and go ahead, Quinn, put the poem. When I was 10 years old, I had moved to the Santa Cruz Mountains, and I, you know, was new there, didn't know anybody. And my first experience with the people were them bullying me, I had those little red kind of cute shoes that are in style now again. I had some of those that I thought were so cool, and I thought everybody's going to like me because I've got these red shoes. Well, every day at lunch, my shoes got pulled off by a group of girls, pulled my shoes off, and they would find a fresh pile of dog stuff to put my shoes in. I know. And so I was like fighting for friends at age 10. And then this woman, or this girl, she's a woman, Beth Kasner, moved to the mountains, flaming red hair, just energy through the roof. She only lived there for 6 months, but those 6 months really changed my life because she gave me a poster. I still remember what it looked like. It was brilliant purple with like flowers around these words. And they stuck with me. The poster is long gone, but blessed is she. So blessed are all of us who have the gift of making friends, for it is one of God's best gifts. It involves many things, but above all, the power of going out of oneself and appreciating what is noble and loving in another. And today I'm going to challenge all of us, I love this, happy habits, to think about what a habit is and how that connects to friendship. For me, when I'm creating a new habit, it takes at least 21 days of being very intentional with that habit. However, if, like you'll hear in my story, sometimes not only are we creating a new habit, which is 21 days, we're also trying to remove something that may have gotten in the way of that creation of a good habit. That usually takes at least 3 months. So my encouragement to all of us is that we're gentle with ourselves as we consider maybe doing something new with our friendship, maybe reaching out to somebody that we haven't talked to in a while. So you guys, one of the things that is the most important thing that I want you to hear today, and I pray, I've been praying for this since I knew I was going to be meeting with you today. It's such a treat to be here. I started to come to this church in 1992, and my first experience with this church was sitting in your seats. I've been a women's ministry director here. I was on staff in children's ministries for a while. I've gone to Mexico, I think, 18 times now. I still go. I love the trip, and you'll see a picture of this year up on the screen. I am passionate about this church and the things that have happened here. And a lot of what happened when I walked into this room this morning, a lot of the beautiful things that happened in this room. So when I walked in here, I thought, I haven't been here, I don't know in how long, but it just feels like home. And it's because of you guys, and it's because of what you have done and the feeling and the ambiance that you create when you gather together, when you do what you just did, praying for each other, intercessory prayer. When you stood up, Patty, and you said what had happened to you, and you look the way you look, it's like God is so good. So thank you guys for joining me as we talk about friendship today. You all should have a You Are Loved button on your place at your table. That's for you to take home with you to remember that you are loved. Because I'll tell you, in the journey that I have been on in my life since I left here, Moraga, which was 2010 when I moved away from here, has all about been about discovering not only how to love God more, and I'm going to do what I do every morning. And I just stand there for a few minutes and say, good morning, God, how are you today? Loving him more. Loving others, and those are two things that I think I did really well here, but I forgot about me. One of my favorite verses says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. So let's go to the next slide, Quinn. I think it's me and my sister. Yeah. So Dennis came and shared about the new men's group, which I think is awesome. And I really appreciate that what he said was in his own story. There was divorce, and he was healing from the pains of divorce. Those two cuties there, I'm the one on the right, my sister's on the left, grew up in a very abusive home, very, very abusive. So what I've learned in my recent years, I did a midlife career change that I'll tell you guys about, is that as these two young ladies were being abused by their parents, as a kid, we want to still love our parents. So we want to love them, love them, love them. What often happens to us is that we stop loving ourselves. So we're pouring the love into the parents, wanting that love to come back. And over years, and this is what happened for me. So anything that I'm sharing today, you guys, it's something that has happened in my life. It's something that I've gone back to college and become educated. I'm currently a counselor. I work with men and women who are in the early stages of coming through substance abuse. I am a person in recovery. I have almost 16 years of freedom from bondage of alcohol. When I was on staff here at Moraga Valley Presbyterian Church, I was loving God with a passion. Those of you who remember me back at that time, remember that, I'm sure. And I was doing my best to love all of you. But the part that hadn't healed yet was that part of loving myself. So when I didn't feel comfortable enough letting you know, my friends, know that I was in that much pain because I felt shame. I felt like if God loves me and I love God the way I say I do, I'm good at loving all of you. I was a good mom. How in the world could this be happening to me? There was confusion, fear, chaos. So one of the things that, again, I want to share with you guys today more than ever, loving him is so important. Loving others is so important. But gosh, if we're not taking care of ourselves, at some point there might be a crash and burn. So if I can help you guys step away from that, beautiful. Today, my sister and I have worked through my being really jealous of her. She had some health issues as a kid, so I'm a touchy-feely person. You guys know I love to hug. I got to Karen's house last night, and I'm like, I need a hug. Patty came and picked me up at the airport. I need a hug. I love to hug. It's a love language of mine. I chased across the pathway today, the patio, to give Valerie a hug this morning. That's one of my love languages. So my sister and I have worked through our stuff. We still have some issues to work through, but I'm very intentional in creating a healthy habit to maintain a friendship with my sister. I've had to forgive some things that we have differences about in order to be there. I've had to surrender my desires to meet her where she is and to love her as I love myself. And it's taken some time. So love God. That's this today. Love others. But boy, today we're also going to work on ourselves. And I know maybe that's not what you thought we were going to talk about. But my hope and my prayer again is that something that's said today, maybe at your tables after, and I created this fun list of to-dos that I don't know if you guys got them last week or this week. If you guys don't, if you're like the tables that I was at in Moms Council on and off for 25 years, we didn't always get to the questions. We often talked about fun things going on in life, but there's some fun suggestions on here. Like, pick your phone up and text somebody you haven't talked to in a long time. Tell them you love them, you're thinking about them. Remind them of a really good memory. I did that 2 weeks ago, knowing that this was the list that I was going to create. I sent a text to my good friend Esther, who I've known since I was 22. So I've known her for 40 years. And she was a running buddy. And I texted her, thank you for a memory that I had of she and I taking a long run together and her forgetting how old she was. And this was well before she was the age of losing the cell phone or thinking that you're losing it with it being right here. So next slide, Quinn. So for me, working on myself, part of that is where do I feel peace? And with God and creation and nature, that's where I find peace. Do you guys all have it like a happy spot, a place where your soul feels really full? Most, okay. I challenge each of us to place ourselves there as often as possible, to connect with him and to connect with ourselves. It's also, for me, a reminder, God created he created man and woman in his image. And when he finished with the creation of human, he said, it's very good for the first time. It wasn't just good, it's very good. So he really loves us. And then the first time he says something isn't good is when he realizes that man is alone and needs a friend. So, there's a beauty in the connection between people. If we were meant to be alone, we would probably each have, I'd have like a little Jen Island, and Christy would have a little Christy Island, and we might wave back and forth to our islands every once in a while, but there wouldn't be this need for this deep connection that we have. And part of that need, I think, is the willingness to, from the Bible again, be naked and unashamed. What does that look like for you? Do you have a person in your life who you can be naked and unashamed with? And I don't mean physically, like rip your clothes off now. I mean the vulnerability that we have. And one of the things about being in recovery, I have a sponsor. My sponsor knows everything about me. She knows as much about me as God does. If I have a thought that I can't believe, oh my gosh, I cannot believe that, my kind heart had a thought like this, I call her. And then poof, it just takes the power out of that thought. So my hope and my prayer for each of us in this room is make sure we have one person. Maybe it's our husbands. Maybe we're blessed with that kind of relationship with our spouse. But I don't know if a spouse would laugh at the Wanda Sykes thing the way that the group of women did. I think sometimes men and women don't completely fully understand one another. So really to lean into, pour into, be intentional about developing that trusting, naked and unashamed relationship with one woman in your life. That's an encouragement to you. Okay, next slide, Quinn. And look, I'm going through these yellow sticky notes. So one of the things on the sheet, it encourages you guys as a table, or maybe another group that you're in, to take a trip together, go serve. I know you guys are still, as a church, connected to Harbor House. Maybe your table could go over as a group. Maybe there's something you can do in La Mirinda. I don't know that much about this community anymore, so I can't give you specific suggestions, but I would imagine this church has some really good ones. I tell you, we get together once a year with a group of kids that I've never met. I don't live here anymore. We go to Mexico. We are encouraged to bond as a team, so we're loving each other. We're encouraged to love God. But at the same time, more than ever, these kids and the big kids who are there are encouraged to really dig in and find out who we are. You know, who are you? What is bringing you joy in this week? Where are you feeling connected? And I know that for me, that felt really funny when I was new to Christ again at age 29, when I first moved to Moraga. I just joyfully gave my heart to him. I was so excited to know that this entity that created that beautiful ocean scene created me, and that his desire for me is to be in connection with him. That's what he wants. So I'm intentionally developing a relationship with him so that I can be present here more, naked and unashamed, which feels really good. Sometimes it's a little scary. Go ahead to the next slide, Quinn. I think these are stats. So some really interesting things. As we nurture and develop a relationship, how many hours do you think it takes to become like besties? Anybody want to guess? Yeah, it's like they think over 200. I did a lot of delving into stats. They say every 7 years, 52% of our friendship circle changes. That doesn't mean that we lose half of our friends. We just, you know, ebb and flow and replace. So if you think back to 7 years ago, you know, the people who were near and dear in your life may not be anymore. I look out here and I go, my gosh, there are so many people who I spent so many hours with when I lived in Moraga. There was such a beautiful connection. I felt naked and unashamed a lot of the time with you guys. But I don't see you as much anymore. So the connection goes away a little bit, except with some of us who I've been able to stay in touch with, which is very, very beautiful. But it's, you know, we have, most of us, 2 to 5 really close friends. And that, I mean, that's good. If you think about Jesus, Jesus had the 3 that he was really close to and then 12 that he surrounded himself with. So I think it's a really good model for us. Go ahead, next slide, Quinn. So I just touched this on this a little bit. And she's in the room. She doesn't know that I'm going to be bringing this up. But the buttons that were left on your table, your new pastor, Daniel Bigelow, when he was in high school, put one of these, recognizing as a high school boy, I'll call him a boy because he was in high school, recognized how painful that time of life was for people. He put one of these in every single kid's locker at his high school. They didn't know who it was from. And he has continued this ministry for, you know, I mean, he's now a husband and about to be a dad. He shared this with me, and in my counseling and my treatment centers and my groups, I give these out to my clients now because I think this is the one piece that more than anything is missing in so many lives. We take care of our kids. We take care of our husbands. We take care of our relationship with God, but we often forget about the common denominator in all those, which is ourselves. So this young man was raised in a home of faith, has parents of faith, and the home where he was raised opened up their doors to me at a time where I was in crisis and let me live there. So this is a family. She's sitting in the back. Thank you, Valerie. This is a family who has demonstrated love and connection. I don't get to see her as often as I would like, but the connection is strong and beautiful, and it's because we've worked at being intentional on maintaining our connection. Okay, and I'm looking at the time. We're going to go to self, and then you guys can have your table time. Go ahead, next slide. So reason, season, lifetime. To go back to the fingers, you don't have to go back, Quinn. Go ahead. You know, sometimes just accepting the fact that friends will come into our life for a reason. We might have a friend who enters into our life for a month. We do something really fun with them, and then we don't see them again. And in my life now, I've been able to accept that as not there's something wrong with me or something wrong with us, but it's just this is what was meant to be. This person was meant to drop in and bless and then step away. Or I was meant to drop in and bless and step away, and that's okay. We don't have to fix something that isn't broken. Sometimes friends come in for a season. I had a friend who, you won't be able to identify this person by what I'm saying, but she was somebody that I met at this church who was my best friend for a while. And when my family broke up because of substance abuse and infidelity and all kinds of horrible stuff, back in 2010, actually really earlier than that, 2008. It was rough on this friend, and she had to separate herself from me. I tried three times. That's my rule. I'll reach out three times. You know, I love you. Are you willing to talk about it? I love you. Are you willing to talk about it three times? And if the answer is no all three times, then I step away to the best of my ability with love. So that I would say is... there's a reason, short, a season. We were friends for a really long time. It was painful, but there's nothing I can do if the other person doesn't reciprocate. And then there are the lifetime friends, which are really beautiful. The ones that oftentimes we meet in junior high, because that's when we're at our most vulnerable with the friendship development. You know, if you study friendship from a psychological point of view, there's something really amazing that happens in the mind of a junior high school kid. So, and the lifetime friend that I will have always is the one that I say good morning to every morning with my arms lifted up to him. And the one who stands in the shoes here, you know, in front of you. So I have to work on my friendship with myself every day. And that, go ahead to the next slide, Quinn. So the verse that comes on all these slides is to love the Lord your God. When Jesus himself, God, was asked what is the most important thing that we're to do as human beings, he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor. Right now you're my neighbor. I love you guys. As yourself. The thing that I'll step back in the journey that I've been on and since my divorce, in recovery, turning my will and life over to the care of God every day, admitting that I'm powerless over alcohol, that my life was unmanageable, developing new friendships, holding on to the ones that were meant to be maintained, through the pain, a lot of moving. I've done many, many moves since I left here. But I had to realize I was the common denominator in everything that had happened. I could choose to be resentful, which for me is drinking poison, hoping they die. You know, it's so easy to go, well, if my parents had been abusive, if my husband had been faithful, if they, then I'd be okay. That's not true. That's what I've learned. So I've learned to really truly fall in love to the best of my ability, not in an egotistical way, to the best of my ability. Sometimes yes, to really care for the person whose butt will sit on my chair, whose face I look in the mirror at when I wake up in the morning and say good morning. How often do you guys do that? How often do you look at your face? And really look at your face, not just to put mascara on or lip stuff on, but really look at your face in the eyes and say, good morning, I love you. Have a good day. You do that to your friends and your children and your husbands. Try doing that to yourself tomorrow morning or even today when you get home. Maybe do it for a week and just see how it feels. Because God wants you to love her. God asks you to love her. So that's my encouragement to us. Last slide. Okay, oh, so You guys have asked, some of you, to see my family. My daughter Natalie is on the far right. You guys prayed for her. She's adopted. You may notice she doesn't look like mom. The whole adoption happened. Her birth mom lived with us. Some of you met her. You prayed for us. You invited Kim, her birth mom, to be a part of your church family. You guys were friends to her birth mom, my daughter's birth mom, for a reason. Not a season, and it was beautiful. The gal in the middle is my daughter in love. Her name is Mia. She's the mom of my three grandchildren, Lucia Grace, Angelo David, and Rocco Alexander. You guys told me to pray for my kids' spouses. Okay, the guy on the far left, my son, he was three. I'm like, pray for my kid's spouse? That's crazy. He's 3 years old. You guys told me that when I was 29 years old, and guess what I did? And guess what? God answered my prayer by sending me the most beautiful daughter-in-law that any mom could ever want for her son. So I moved 2 years ago, prayerfully considering, do I want to leave the beauty of Northern California? I love Northern California. I love the mountains. I love the redwood trees. To go down to Paradise Paved, put up a parking lot. that's where I live now. But guess who I live near? I walk out my front door, and I'm 3 minutes from my grandchildren, my daughter-in-law, and my son. I work full-time. I work sometimes from home. My clients are people whose lives are very, very much in pain and hurt and need. Most of them can tell that I have, in the recovery world, a higher power, who I choose to call God, Jesus, and we get to talk about that. So in the midst of a lot of pain, I get to encourage my clients to do the same thing that I'm really encouraging us to do today. And I'm right here with you, you guys. I'm right here with you. I carry still pain from my past that I sometimes go, what are you doing back here? You know, I thought we talked about this in therapy a year ago. We're done, aren't we? And no, sometimes it'll try to slap itself back onto me and take me down. So I'm on this journey with you. But I have to tell you, more than anything, what I want you to hear is that you are loved, and that the woman whose butt is seated in your chair right now is absolutely beautiful and deserving of every type of love possible. And with that, I'm going to let you guys have fun at your tables. Thank you.